was mine. Then I longed for my love deep within. I know she has gone, but my love lingers on in a dream that the wind brings to me.
Hi, this is The Work Show, and I'm your host and producer, Paul Smart. This month, we are exploring the idea of summer employment. What's your memory of summer jobs? I recall paper routes, cutting lawns, pulling dandelions, and honeysuckle by hand. I pumped gas and served as a counselor in training for years. I often had three or four jobs at a time. I bussed tables and spent several overheated months pulling poison ivy trunk from an old barn until I broke out in a rash that reached down into my throat and almost killed me. Later, after college, I would often take on extra work come the summer. During 1 year in Alaska, I bartended for a full season and got to know how summer work drove the economy. Every evening, the salmon boats would loose their crews who would come in and ring a bell, buying rounds of drinks for the entire house. Often they were joined in their revelry by the crews coming off of lumber camps out on the islands of southeast Alaska. Those were days when the season felt like a gold mine. You could always earn a bit extra during the warmer months. Up until now, that is. I met up with M.A. Wiltsey, director of Columbia Green Workforce, in her office at Columbia Green Community College at the beginning of July. We wanted to check with her on how things were going this summer and what workforce was doing for youth in our area and others looking for jobs.
Well, this year we're doing another summer youth employment program. It gets state funding from New York State. And we serve low-income youth in jobs that last 5 or 6 weeks with different employers throughout the two counties. So this year we've got enough funding to serve about 90 kids in the two counties, and they are working at jobs all over the place.
What jobs do they do? Do employers come to you looking for help, or do they chip into the program?
This program is completely, they don't have to, the chipping in is that they're offering them supervision and skills. So we work with both public organizations and private employers. For example, in Greene County, a number of youth are going to be working at Cotterskill Care, the nursing home, and at Community Action of Greene County. We also have youth working at private employers such as Slater's and Carroll and Grand Union and Coxsackie, McDonald's. So it gives kids that might not have had a chance to get a summer job an opportunity to be working. Youth unemployment during the summer is worse than it's ever been in this country since perhaps the Depression. And more kids are not working than are working. So this is a good opportunity because all research shows that youth that have summer employment and have a job when they're a kid learn skills that are valuable for them forever, and it connects them to the workforce and it connects them to jobs that will help them in their as they continue to grow up.
Just to try to earn a dollar. die, son. You gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. Wanna use the car to go riding next Sunday? Well, I didn't go to work though, but plus I was sick.
You can't use a car 'cause you didn't work a lick.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues. I'm gonna take my problem to the United Nations. Well, I called my congressman and he said, whoa,
I'd like to help you, son, but you're too young to vote.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
Yeah, it's just, it's part of the economy right now, and it's been getting worse and worse. So, Greene County, we would think, would have a better option of employment for young people because of all the tourism and research, tourism jobs, but because so many adults are unemployed, employers are more likely to hire somebody that has more experience. If they can get them, and they can get them when the labor market is down, and there's another labor pool to pull from, and they don't have to go with kids that have not much experience.
And how do the kids in this program, is it competitive, or how do you choose what kids are doing it?
There's a lot of factors that go in. Starting in April, we start getting phone calls from youth saying, are you having a summer youth program? And we take applications, so we have to make sure that they meet the guidelines from the state set down, which is basically family income situations. We then have to be very practical about some of it. Where do they live? Do they have transportation? Can they get to where these jobs that we're able to put together come from? So there's a lot of factors, and then we try to match up career interests with employers as much as we can. And so we look at their background, their skills, their interests, and the real practical stuff is, can they get there?
And what's, are they earning minimum wage?
Minimum wage jobs, yes.
What is minimum wage again?
$7.25 an hour.
Okay. And so what else, outside of that, all the other workforce programs and training is going on as usual during the summer? Or
right. Well, there's not a whole lot of training going on right now because the way our federal program works, we haven't gotten our year starts July 1st, so you would think we would have our money starting on July 1st, but we don't. So we're running on... we're running on fumes until the federal allocation sends us next year's money. So we haven't put a whole lot of people in training. But we have something very exciting that's happening as in our region. We were part of an application with four workforce areas from that cover 11 counties, Fulton, Montgomery, Schoharie, Saratoga, Warren, Washington, and Albany, Schenectady, Rensselaer. We got a federal grant called the Workforce Innovation Fund, and is going to provide us with $3 million over the next 3 years to do what we call two-step career plans, to try to get people back to work, but while they're working in perhaps an entry-level job, they're training for the next step to get a more advanced and livable wage job. And we're focusing on STEM careers, science, technology, engineering, and math. Mm-hmm. And so We just got that award, and we'll be starting to work on that very soon, and hopefully get people involved in realizing that for a livable income and a livable wage, that those are the kinds of jobs they're going to need to train for and pursue, because those are the jobs that are going to provide a living wage.
And how does that divvy up between the different counties and areas?
We're going to have a fund each year of about $300,000 specifically to pay for tuition or on-the-job training with an employer. And it's first come, first serve. So amongst the 11 counties, whoever can hook up a person to an employer and a training program, they get the money.
Okay. And then how much seasonal employment is there in Columbia and Greene counties?
There's a lot of seasonal employment, but it's not just summer season only.
Yeah.
You know, there's people that work seasonally in the summertime, and then there are people that work seasonally in the wintertime. So, you know, a lot of the seasonal work that it's here, you might think is more tourism related, but it's really not necessarily. It's construction.
Okay.
In both counties. And then agriculture in Columbia County.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I mean, it seems in some of the communities I've covered down in Ulster County that contracting is coming back, not in terms of new home starts, but a lot of home projects and the like. Are you finding that? Or?
Well, you know, we do find some employers putting jobs on for construction-related occupations, roofing, painting, that kind of stuff.
And how's the general job picture looking around Columbia and Greene counties right now? I mean, it's so hard to say what's going on a national basis. It gets spun so quickly.
Yeah. Well, it's unclear. I think some of the unemployment rate is still looking high. We're hoping that the unemployment rate is looking higher than it was because more people are coming back into the labor force thinking that they've got better opportunities, a better chance of finding something now. Mm-hmm. So people are only counted as unemployed if they're actively looking for work. So people who have given up aren't counted as unemployed anymore. So we're hoping that the increase in the unemployment rate is really due to more people starting to look again.
Mm-hmm.
And there do seem to be a lot of employers that are putting jobs, listing job openings. Some of them are temporary, some of them are through, you know, agencies, temp agencies. But a lot of employers here in these two counties will hire through a temp agency. And then if they like you, they keep you on. So it's a way for them to try people out. And so people who are looking for work should really not... they should consider going through a temp agency.
And what are the big, I mean, are the temp agencies based in Columbia and Greene, or are they outside of the two counties? Well, where does one go to look for that?
Oh, the temp agencies come here a lot. And I'm not sure if they're necessarily based here, but whenever they have an opening that's in Columbia or Greene County, they do a lot of advertising, and they come here, and they meet with potential customers. So, they're out and about.
And is that something to check the local papers for, or do you keep
check the local papers? They can check our job openings on our website.
And how's the state job listing thing that Cuomo started up last winter? I remember we were talking about that a lot. That there was
That was a combination of a new initiative by the governor's office and our. The base it improved our current system of people looking for work, of where the job listings are on Job Central.
And has that worked? Been working effectively?
I believe so. There are a lot of jobs on there, and people just need to sort through them. One of the things that can happen is that you need to, when you're looking on online job sites, you need to see what day the job was posted. Sometimes they don't necessarily go away when they should.
Okay. And then there's a lot of talk recently in some of the national news magazines about the skills gap. And yeah.
Well, that's what our grant is trying to address. Is there is a skills gap, because the jobs that are out there now all require a lot more science and math, and they're higher skilled. And jobs that, let's say, let's pick manufacturing. People used to be able to go from high school to a manufacturing center and learn on the job and have a decent living in a manufacturing setting. Now, the manufacturing systems are so complicated and they're all computer-based that that requires post-secondary training. And so that's where the skills gap is that people don't have a background in the science and technologies that they need for the jobs that are coming here, are coming back here, and are going to be here in the future.
Do you all work with people's attitudes towards work? I mean, it used to be, you know, when we were growing up, there was an idea that you find a career and that's it. You stick with it and you get a gold watch and you go off to Florida or something.
It doesn't exist anymore, except for me. I've been here 30 years, but for most people, they change jobs between 10 and 12 times during their careers. And lifelong learning is the thing that we try to pursue and focus on for people, is that you can't just, you're going to have to go back to school. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to learn things on your job that you're going to be able to continue forever. Things change too quickly around here now. You know?
And I guess that's also occurred with those who used to be able to sustain themselves between the seasonal markets and that have all this time left over in between. I mean, half of the mountaintop was like that.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, there is still seasonal employment, and people still do that. They'll work for 6 months, you know, say at the ski resort, and then they'll go and perhaps work at a hotel or a bed and breakfast or a motel or something. Mm-hmm. But there are less of those hotels and motels around, so it becomes a little bit more difficult.
And, just as a final thing, does it look, in terms of employment, you know, since we started talking about this in, it was December or so. Does the glass look half empty or half full right now?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. It depends on how you're looking. It hasn't improved dramatically, but it hasn't gotten worse either.
Uh-huh.
So it. I think the fact that it hasn't gotten worse is a good sign, and I think it's improving a little bit.
El lavado cerebral. Voy a hacerme un buen lavado cerebral para cambiarle de rutina a mi vida. Dicen que en este mundo nada se olvida. Otro mundo nuevo voy a comenzar. Olvidemos el calor de aquellos brazos que con ansias estrecharon nuestro pecho. Y no me quejo haber perdido aquel derecho, porque más tarde más grande era el fracaso. Lavado
cerebral,
mi lavadito
cerebral,
mi lavado
cerebral,
mi lavadito
cerebral.
Oiga, Valente Perea. Seguiré rogando que tú seas feliz.
siempre ilumine tu camino y que ese amor que te encontraste tan divino nunca vayas a engañarlo como a mí. Te llevaste parte de mi corazón y en mi pecho ya lo estoy recuperando. Como yo la paso cantando y tocando. En la vida mi consuelo es mi acordeón.
Bernie Kelleher, director of Columbia County's Highway Department. He's been working the roads of his home county for 35 years now, after starting on a summer job.
In the summer of 1977, I was hired right out of
high school. It was a hot summer.
Yeah. I was hired as just a summer laborer. I was raking blacktop and shoveling ditches, and then a full-time position came open in October, and I was hired in October as a full-time laborer, and I didn't go on to college. I stayed right here. I've been here ever since. I've been here almost 35 years now.
You just work your way up through the...
I did. I took every civil service test that came along, and then at the age of 25, I think I was promoted to road foreman. And then I worked my way up to assistant general, and then to projects coordinator, and then the director of highways.
And has the nature of the department changed over that period of time?
It's changed greatly. A lot of things have changed. When I came to work here, we were just in solid waste is in its infancy stage. You know, that's when the county took over all the landfills in the county, started building transfer stations, started getting a solid waste business. So the highway department became the public works department shortly before 77, like 75, I think. And then the facilities department came into play. And they created a department to maintain the county office buildings. So now you've got three departments all under one roof, so to speak, under one commissioner. Mm-hmm. At the time, it was an administrator of public works. It was a commissioner of public works, and then went to administrator of public works. Now it's gone back to a commissioner of public works. Well, the highway department really has done the brunt of the work in closing the landfills, because we had the equipment and the manpower to do it. We built top load and the Greenport transfer station. We actually built all the transfer stations in the county. The highway department guys did, and the facilities department personnel. You know, we worked together to get it done. We had the know-how to move the earth, and the facilities department had the know-how on how to put together the buildings and the compactors and the electric and the other stuff. So it worked out well together. And we built all the stations with great efficiency. Right now, they're all up and operating. But you look at their parking lots, they're deteriorating, you know, it's like everything, it just starts to wear out, and we've got to maintain our infrastructure. It's no different than the roads. Years ago, we used to have a larger road project than we've got now. We used to build bridges in the mid-70s. We don't build bridges anymore. We don't have the expertise for manpower. We've cut back over the years. When I came to work here, there was 120 people working here. Now there's with all my office staff, mechanics, and everybody here down around 85.
And is that just a change in the? I mean, is there less money out there? Is it a change in the way we?
I think we're actually, over time, we've cut back through attrition, and we've cut back on what we can do. Naturally, if you don't have the help, you can't do it. Another thing is cut, you know, scale us back is, we used to have our own paving crew, and we'd pave all our own roads. We owned the paver, we owned the roads, we had the expertise to do it. And then contractors started doing it cheaper than we could do it. Mm-hmm. And when you were paying a contractor to come in for $5 a ton more than what we're paying for the material at the plant to truck it and place it, and you don't have to do a thing. It didn't make sense to own the paver, to own the roller, to maintain the paver and the roller, to maintain a fleet of trucks to haul the material, and then to tie up your workforce of, when you're paving, you're tying up 20, 25 men. Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, half of my workforce right now. I've only got 60 guys on the street working now. So mm-hmm. we're way down from what we used to be. It doesn't make sense to not, you know, hire it out.
Is there the same amount of roads, or is it the amount of roads overgrown?
It's the same amount, if not maybe a little more. You know, I think when I came, it was 267. Now it's like 270. We took over, built the Commerce Park in the 90s. You know, and those are all county highways now. We gave up a road. Alvord's Dock Road went to Thomas Dockport a few years ago, but that's about the only road we've given up to the towns that I can think of off the top of my head. I got a few I'd like to give back because they're just, there's nothing wrong with them. We've just actually fixed them up. Anthony Street in Hillsdale is one. 70 out in North Hillsdale is another one. They're like Anthony Street in Hillsdale is in a hamlet, and it's shared by two towns. Town lines in the middle of it. It should be a town, in my opinion, it should be a town highway. Doesn't have the need to be a county highway, you know what I'm saying? The same with Nolan's Road, which I call 7D out in North Hillsdale. It meets two town roads. And it's just a mile-long stretch from 22 into Dawson Road.
Now, do you have to work out a contract for it to be plowed or something, or do you have to get...
We actually have, over the years, taken on snow and ice control contracts for different towns. That's another thing we've been doing for probably, when did we start that? Back in the, I would say back in the mid-90s, I think we started contracting out for towns. And we do it where it makes sense. Town of Stuyvesant, for instance, sits right on 26A. Mm-hmm. They got to come out of their barn to go to their roads in each direction. It just makes sense to pay them to put the plow down and take care of it, rather than send a truck from Hudson all the way up there. I mean, yeah, we still have to go up and do County 25 in Stuyvesant, we do 46 in Newton Hook. We're in that area, but the level of service you're going to give to the taxpayer is going to be quicker when that guy can drive out of his barn and he's got the plow down and he's scraping it off. County 13 in Old Chatham's another one. The town of Chatham Highway Garage is right there on that road. Instead of waiting for that truck to come out again, it makes sense to pay them to do it.
Where do you have substations?
We have substations in Lebanon, Ghent, Kinderhook. Our main garage is here in Hudson, Livingston, Copake, and we actually store two trucks at the town of Germantown to service that southwestern corner of the county. Now, paving a mile of road, speaking of costs, just to pave an inch and a half overlay, that's just not doing anything with the culverts or the drainage or the guide rail or anything else that needs to be addressed. Just covering up with an inch and a half of asphalt is about $110,000 a mile. I get $1.5 million a year for 270 miles of road. Out of that $1.5 million, $1.1 of it goes into paving, and the other $400,000 goes for culverts, guide rail. Maybe I might have to reclaim that road like I did in Anthony Street. Start over and grind it up, chew it up to nothing, stabilize it with cement, compact it, and then they pave it. You know, quite often we'll have to do that because the roads get so bad, you just got to start over.
And then that budget's not taking into account any winter events or flood events or anything?
That is strictly what we call my CHIPS funding. CHIPS is the Consolidated Highway Improvement Funding. Columbia County, for whatever reason, has elected not to have their own money set aside for a road program.
So they're just
we're relying solely on state money to maintain our infrastructure. Probably 80% of the towns in Columbia County do share services.
Uh-huh.
A lot of us do. I mean, you got, you're always seeing Chatham, Lebanon working together, Chatham and Stuyvesant, Stockport and Stuyvesant work together, Greenport, Stockport, Stuyvesant. Everybody kind of gets together when you're doing a road project. If they're going to do some paving, because a lot of the towns still do some what they call modal paving, which is a stone oil mix, and they need trucks to haul the material, they'll call up their neighbor. Ghent's a big one. Ghent, Clogger work together. And we're all doing shared services. We do it with the towns as well.
And do you do it with the state as well, or is that a different...
No, we work very well with the state. The state's structured a little differently. So we actually have a pilot agreement with them right now where we maintain a certain, I think it's about 120 miles of state highway during the winter for snow and ice control.
Mm-hmm.
Trucks today cost $200,000, a dump truck with a plow and a wing and a sander. A single axle is $197,000, and a tandem, the last tandem we bought was 2 years ago, that was $222,000. I get $455,000 a year for new equipment. So if I buy two trucks, I can't buy a brush chipper, I can't buy, you know, the pickup trucks, the crew trucks, the mowers, the graders, the loaders, the other.
But how does the summer shape up each year? Is this extra busy time when you're trying to cram a lot in, or is it?
You always try and cram a lot in, but I'm also limited what I can do because my funds are limited.
Uh-huh.
You know, it doesn't take long to burn up through a $1.5 million road. I just paid 4.5 miles of road in Ghent, and that was a $500,000 bill. So there's a third of my budget on one road.
But and how do you then figure out which roads you're going to be doing? Is it
you go out and look at them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, years ago we used to go out and politics would play a role, and you say, all right, you got to do a mile of pavement in this town, you got to do a mile of pavement in that town. You go in and the road may be 3-4 miles long. It's typically most of the county roads are 3 to 4 miles long,
mm-hmm.
Each section. Years ago, we used to go in and do a mile up, pack up, and go two towns over and do a mile up, pack up. And it seemed like you were constantly moving. And that seemed to go by the wayside in the late 90s, and we just decided it's time, it makes more sense to just take one road, do it from one end to the other, and done with it, move on to the next road. You don't come back to that road now for, well, if you go by this life cycle, 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad, but that's about what it is.
And are you hiring extra people in the summer? Or?
We hire summer laborers, and that's all they are. They're college kids that need some extra money. We do the summer labor program, and typically we'll get, this year I have 8 of them working for me. And they get paid $10 an hour with no benefits. And they flag traffic. They help us shovel blacktop and clean ditches.
And how do they come into the program? Is that
the county's summer youth program is sponsored. We have 23 openings. There are 23 supervisors in Columbia County. Town supervisors and City of Hudson has 5.
Mm-hmm.
So every kid that comes on is sponsored by a township. By a town supervisor. So there's 23 spots.
Okay.
And then human resources doles them out. Whether it be, like I got 8, facilities may have 2 or 3, solid waste may have 2 or 3, office of the agent may have some, the DA's office may have some, depending on what these kids are going to school for. You know, and then they try and put them in like an intern program, the type of work they're going to do. I usually end up with the people going into the construction field, you know. Engineering ends up with people who are going into the engineering field. The DA or the county attorney may end up with someone going into the legal field, you know. I didn't tell you what they did for a summer program.
When you started off, was it the similar program?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always been that way.
Okay. And then do you hire, is there a similar thing in the winter, or how do you deal with
during the winter
fluctuation?
Typically, we hire seasonal laborers in the winter. And they come on typically November 15th, and they'll be all done April 1st. And we hire 6 of them, historically. That's all they'll allow us to put on. And we'll pay them the wage of a first year in labor with no benefits, but we'll give them 40 hours a week. And then, you know, they'll get overtime if there's overtime in that week. But they don't get holiday pay, they don't get any major medical or dental or optical, so.
Now, do you hire out of either the summer or the seasonal?
That's a good way to get their foot in the door, and we see what we're getting for an employee. You know, you get a taste of for 3 or 4 months, and you can say, "Well, he's a good employer." Well, no, I don't want to put him on. You know, but we don't hire any laborers anymore for full time. Your entry level position in the Highway Department is a motor equipment operator, one position. And the reason we've gone to that is several reasons, but the main thing is we need people with CDLs. You don't have a chauffeur's driver's license to drive these dump trucks. Uh-huh. And we run two people to a truck. So you get a bad, long-duration snowstorm, those guys can switch off. It takes away that driver fatigue, you know. So we want them all. That, in addition to that, is it puts them all on the same playing field. Right now, our CDL drivers have to be random drug tested. Our laborers and our skilled laborers don't have to be drug tested. And the union has fought that, saying that, well, that's their right if they want to go out on a weekend and party, as long as they don't come to work on Monday under the influence. So I've done away with them over the years through attrition. As a skilled laborer retires, I'll abolish that position, create a motor one position, and now you have to have a CDL for that position. Now you have to be in the program. I got a lot of flack from my drivers, and that's where it started. And I can't blame them, you know. Half your workforce is in a drug testing program, the other half doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
And we tried to get mandatory drug testing countywide, and the union fought it. So we said, well, this is one way around that. We'll just abolish those positions. And I have, and now I think I've got 8 out of 60 people left that aren't in the program. So this is their primary job, and they sign a piece of paper when they come on board that they acknowledge that this will be your primary job. And we actually have we have language in our union contract that spells it out, that you have to be on call 24/7. And if you miss the call outs, there's a 24-month floating window that starts, and it's a discipline scale that we walk you up if you're not here when we need you.
So how bad is it working the roads in the summer, like we've had just recently?
It's very, very hot. And these guys, you know, you got to keep them hydrated, and you got to give them ample breaks down. The worst is working with blacktop, naturally. That stuff's 325 degrees, and it comes out of the truck. And it might be, it's 95 degrees standing on that pavement. The pavement temperatures are probably 125. So it's very hot, and you just got to keep the guys hydrated and make the foreman got to watch them and just make sure that they're not, you know, starting with heat exhaustion or issues. You got to just pay attention. And then you get the public who drives by and says, oh, look at those guys sitting under the shade tree. But they didn't see him for the last 2 hours spreading that blacktop, you know.
So are you keeping, like, water and stuff on hand, like coolers on hand?
Everyone's issued 5-gallon coolers, and they take ice and then water with them. Yeah, they're all... They've got what they need to do the job.
Uh-huh. So, did you miss those days at all going out?
Do I miss them? I used to miss it, but not really anymore. But not after 35 years.
Summer days.
Ruth Leonard is an artist who lives in Cairo and has been teaching in local arts and education programs for many years. She has been running Greene County's Sprouts Summer Arts Program for children ages 3 to 7 for almost 20 years now. We caught up with her in the Wyndham Ashland Jewett Elementary School.
Something has been like grabbed. Yeah. Less
success,
gluten free.
Hi, Ruth Leonard. How are you?
Fine, Paul.
Thanks for running into you here.
Yeah, we're having snacks right now.
So, what is this program? What have I stumbled into here?
Sprouts is a free program for children ages 3 to 7 in art, music, theater, and dance.
And how long has this been running?
It's been running for over 20 years.
And have you been running it all this time? Is that why you look so tired?
I never sleep very well on the first night before Sprout starts. But I've been doing it for about 20 years, but it probably was going for about 5 to 10 years before that. So.
And how, it's funded through the county or through the arts?
It gets funding through a lot of different sources, through corporate, private donations, some through the towns. You know, there's a whole long list of people that contribute, including private donations too.
Now, how many people? It seems there are a lot of. How many kids are you working with up here in Wyndham?
We have about 45 children that we have this week. So, and yeah, and but we can go up to 60.
And how many people are you working with in terms of staff?
We have 4 teachers, and we have about 12 volunteer teen and preteen assistants. So, and if you excuse me for one sec, I have to call the kids to their classroom.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
This is always fun.
I'll catch you. Yeah, this is all going to be recorded. So.
Okay. Could I get everybody's attention for a sec? And I need you to look at your name tags. If you have a red circle at the bottom of your name tag, that means you're in art. Second, you just came from music. We're going to go into the art room over here, okay? Everybody with a red circle at the bottom of their tag. And you have a green square at the bottom of your tag.
Oh, good. While they're doing that, I can interview you. So is this your first year serving as a counselor?
Fourth?
Fourth?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, so you're an old hand in it now.
Yeah.
What's the hardest part about it and the most fun part about it?
Switching classes is probably the hardest. And the fun part is when we go outside with the kids and do the ring around the rosy and stuff.
Now, do you have, how old are you?
11.
Okay, so you've been doing this since you're like...
3.
Huh?
3.
Oh, you went through Sprouts and then became a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to be a teacher or something when you grow up, or do you have any idea?
I don't know. I have no clue.
So are you tired at the end of the day working with these kids?
Sometimes... the kids are tired and sometimes they're really energetic. So.
Do you have younger brothers and sisters?
I have two younger sisters. One's my twin sister, Anna, and one's my little sister, Faith.
Oh, so she, how much younger is the twin sister?
13 minutes younger.
Okay. But you,
so you just carry
so you counselors?
Oh, we're helpers. We help.
You helpers? Is this your first year helping?
No, I've done it since I was 8. I was in the program since I was 3, and then when I turned 7 or 8, I started helping.
Okay.
It's her first time helping, though.
How is it? Good? This is your first morning, right? Is it chaotic, or it seems good?
No, it's good.
Are you going to be exhausted at the end of the day, or?
We'll see. But I don't know.
And how is it each year? Do you look forward to it?
Yeah, I have a lot of fun doing it because I like working with little kids, and it's a lot of fun.
And how old are you now?
17.
Okay. And do you have any career plans or work plans in the future?
I'm thinking about going into engineering, but I'm not entirely sure. But like, I kind of think I want to like volunteer with children when I get older. Like next year, I'm going to teach religion, so that will be with little kids. So because I like working with kids, so I have no idea.
Do you have younger brothers and sisters?
No, I only have an older sister. She's a lot older than me.
Okay. And how was it shifting from being a Sprout to being a Sprout helper?
I mean, I was really excited to get to be a helper because I felt so much like older, even though I was only 8. But it was fun to see like the different sides of it.
And do you do other jobs in the summer?
Well, we both just came back from working at a Girl Scout camp.
So where was that?
In Holmes, New York, near Fishkill.
Okay.
For like how many days?
We were there for 12 days.
All right, guys, are you done?
Yeah. Any pay on that, or all just?
Yeah. Yeah, we.
You are?
Well, we're counselors in training since we're not 18 yet.
Uh-huh.
So.
Hi. Soon enough.
And then what happens over the rest of the summer? Other things lined up.
What do you mean that area?
Job wise, or?
I don't have anything.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And so, what year will you be next year?
We'll be seniors.
Yep.
Oh,
last year, no high school.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you two been friends?
For, we'll say,
since kindergarten?
Yeah, so probably
since
like 13 years.
Wow.
Well, Kristen's been a helper. Well, you went through Sprouts, right?
Yeah.
So she's been great, and her sister also.
Yeah.
And your sister's a teacher now?
Yeah, she's teaching. She's substitute teaching.
Oh, great. So.
And so how many kids, are most of the helpers previous Sprouts?
A lot of them are. I would say the majority of kids are previously went through Sprouts. So they know the program pretty well. And it's great. It's great that it's a nice continuation of the program after they're too old to attend anymore. So.
And so what's involved? So do you have a second?
Sure, I do now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when do you start putting together Sprouts each year?
I would say I start thinking about it right after the first of the year. You know, there might be a grant or something that's due, or you know, but then maybe more in the early spring is when I start, you know, contacting teachers and sending out letters, and you know, that's the main time, you know, kind of in March sometime I usually.
And then do you get paid like in one lump or?
Yeah, basically. Uh-huh. So after each week, so.
You balance a lot of these teaching gigs, right?
Right. Yeah.
How many?
Well, in the summer, this is the only thing I'm doing in the summer. So, but during the school year, I might do a private class, or I do arts and education teaching in the regular public schools, and you know, different things come up. You know, from time to time. So there's always something going on. So.
And then there's the major lucre of all the art sales, right? That just.
Oh, right. Yeah, that always brings in big bucks. So.
How much time does Sprouts take up then over the summer? How long does it run for?
This year it's running for 6 weeks. So this is our first week, first of 6 weeks. So. So we'll be in various locations throughout the county.
And that's
so
5 days a week?
Monday through Friday, right.
And what are the hours it runs?
From 10 to 11:45. Yeah, and we have pretty good sign-ups. We're looking to sign more kids up in Catskill, actually. It's going to be at, and this may be a little confusing for people because we're at a new location. It's at the Catskill Academy, which is behind the Catskill High School, and it is the Questar space.
Okay.
So we're using that space this year since the community center is under construction.
And how did you end up doing this?
I have been working with kids in this age group for a long time, even before I moved upstate. So I was in the city, and I was working with preschools down there doing art in preschools before I moved up here. But I owe a lot to, I think, coming from a big family.
Uh-huh.
And growing up in one of eight children, and so I always had younger brothers and sisters to take care of, and I was always like farmed out to babysit
uh-huh.
for other people, so it just seemed like kind of a natural thing. So for me, it came pretty naturally, and then being able to work with kids in the arts, which is my field as an artist, was great. So,
and what do you pull from an art kind of aesthetically? Art-wise.
What do I pull from it as an artist? I love to see what kids come up with. I mean, they're just so creative,
mm-hmm.
So it's inspiring for me just to remember to be a kid again, because they have so much freedom. So I think that's my biggest thing. And then, just watching them have a great time. So.
So summers are sprouts for you. It just
basically, yeah.
But then you reach a point where you get your own summer later.
Yeah, right? I have a later part, and I have my afternoons. This is a morning program, so yeah. So it's works out pretty well.
Because you gotta, when you run for love, not because you oughta, when you trust your friends with no reason, nada. The joy I've named shall not be tamed, and that summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life. Makes you drop down on it, when the smell of the lawn makes you flop down on it, when the teenage car gets the cop down on it, that time is here for one more year, and that summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life. If you've forgotten what I'm naming, you're gonna long to reclaim it one day, because that summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life.
Summer feeling.
And if you wait until you're older, a sad resentment will smolder one day, and then that summer feeling's gonna haunt you, and that summer feeling's gonna taunt you, and then that summer feeling is gonna hurt you one day in your life. When even fourth grade starts looking good, which you hated, and first grade's looking good too, overrated, and you boys long for some little girl that you dated, do you long for her or for the way you were? That summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life.
Summer feeling, summer feeling, summer feeling.
down on it. When the catamaran has got the drop down on it. When the flat of the land has got the crop down on it. Some things were good before and some things never were. But that summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life. Well, when your friends are in town and they've got time for you, when you and them are hanging around and they don't ignore you, when you say what you will and they still adore you, is that not appealing? It's that summer feeling. That summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life.
Music for the August edition of the Work Show included the classic doo-wop song The Wind by the Jesters, Summertime Blues by the Beach Boys, Lavado Cerebro by the great Colombian cumbia artist Alfredo Gutierrez, Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone, and That Summer Feeling by Jonathan Richman. Until next month, this has been The Work Program.
You're gonna want this feeling inside one more time. One more thing. When you're hanging around the park with the water fountain and there's the little girl with the dirty ankles because she's on the swings and all the dust is kicking up. And you remember the ankle locking and the way she flirted with you. For all this time, how come? Well, that summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life. You'll throw away everything for it. You'll throw away everything for it. One more thing. Well, when the playground that just was all dirt comes haunting, and that little girl who called you a flirt, memory comes taunting. You pick these things apart, they're not that appealing. You put them together and you'll get this certain feeling. That summer feeling is gonna haunt you one day in your life.
Summer feeling, summer feeling.
It's gonna haunt you.
Summer feeling.
It's gonna taunt you.
Summer feeling.
You're gonna want this feeling inside one more time.